Well, friends, Luke chapter 11, as we continue our study of this wonderful gospel, we'll read from verse 37 through to verse 52. Luke 11, verse 37, this is the word of the living God. And as he spoke, that is Jesus, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them." Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also." And he said, Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. In fact, you bear witness that you approve the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore, the wisdom of God also said, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the temple. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. Amen. And those who were entering in, you hindered. That last line, I'm not sure how much it struck you, but that last line is shocking. Jesus said to these religious leaders, those who were entering in, you hindered. Now, what did Jesus mean by that? Those people who were on some path in the direction of divine truth and salvation and the kingdom of God and heaven, Jesus is saying you hindered them. Now, could anything worse be said of a religious leader? Jesus is saying to these boys, you in the name of religion, you in the name of the Old Testament, you in the name of Almighty God, in the name of righteousness, in the name of holiness, prevent people from salvation. That, friends, is the ultimate discredit of a religious leader. Every normal person, every reasonable person understands how important it is to be told the truth. If you look at it at just, you know, from the viewpoint of common life and the routine of everyday life, we want people to be truthful. We want them to tell us the truth. We understand that life disintegrates, it unravels, it becomes chaotic if we don't know the truth about the things that make up our lives. Now, listen to this next bit carefully. You could live in a world of liars. You could live in a world where no one told you the truth about politics, insurance, your holiday booking, your purchases, you know, be it the car, computer, appliances or whatever. You could live in a world amidst deceivers all your life and still be okay in the life to come if just one person told you the truth? And that one person, it could be your pastor, your preacher, your religious teacher, your Christian friend, who shared with you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could have lies about everything, and you could hear lies about everything in this world. And you can be okay if you get the truth about the world to come. On the other hand, you could live in this world in the midst of people who tell you the truth about everything. You could live in this world among people who never deceive you, who are honest and forthright and give you the truth all the time, you know, about, you know, politics, about your insurance policies, about your appliances that you buy. And yet you could be damned forever by just one liar in your whole life, if that one liar was your spiritual leader that you trusted implicitly. You see, friends, it's infinitely more important to be told the truth about salvation, about the way to heaven, than about anything else. Therefore, the realm in which the truth matters most is the spiritual realm. If the doctor lies to you, it could affect you physically. If your accountant lies to you, it will affect you economically. If your spouse lies to you, it could affect you socially. There are lots of things that can go wrong in this life, but whoever you trust to tell you the truth about the life to come, if that person lies to you, then you are damned forever. Now, the world is full of religious liars, always has been, always will be. And sadly, perhaps their platform is greater today than it's ever been because of the media. And at a time when false teaching is spreading so rapidly, discernment at the same time seems to be disappearing, and you know, people aren't as discerning as they used to be. There is probably more gullible than they've ever been in a previous generation. But these false teachers damn people's souls. They shut the door to heaven. They hinder people from salvation. And friends, can you think of a more frightening judgment than the judgment of God that falls upon people who slam the door of the kingdom of heaven in the face of those who were entering? But that's what they do. And that's exactly what the Pharisees did in Israel. They had been doing it for a long time, shutting heaven up, hindering people, putting obstacles in front of them. And it continues today. Even so-called Christians want to tolerate false teaching and false teachers, all in the name of love, all in the name of acceptance, all in the name of kindness, all in the name of persevering grace and ecumenical peace. But false teachers in the realm of religion are the most dangerous people on the planet. And their lies matter more than any others because their lies damn people for eternity. So when Jesus came and he began his ministry, he engaged in the necessary proclamation of the truth. Alongside that proclamation of the truth was also the equally necessary assault on those who slammed the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, those who hindered those who were entering. Interestingly, friends, Jesus was actually merciful to them, as harsh as he was. You know, there was still mercy in his harshness. For the words that he spoke to them, which were so harsh, were intended to not only warn others about them, but also to warn themselves that they need to examine their hearts and they need to face up to their hypocrisy and repent and place their trust in him. So what you see in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is a ministry of immense and escalating conflict. We've seen that as we have worked our way through the Gospel of Luke. You know, there are some people who would like to think that the life of Jesus was only a life of kind deeds and miracles and gentle teaching. And he was surrounded by women and children and everything was just sort of warm and, you know, fuzzy. But friends, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, from the time that the Lord Jesus Christ started his ministry, it was a ministry of immense conflict and escalating conflict. It was a ministry in which the hatred of the religious leaders in Judaism grew to a fever pitch until all reason and revelation, you know, they just dismissed and said, we're not having it. You know, we're not going to believe what we're hearing, even though it is rational. We're not going to believe what we're seeing, even though we're seeing these miracles. And it got to the point that they manipulated the Romans to crucify their own Messiah. So in the text before us, Jesus eyeballs one of these false teachers in Israel on an occasion that's introduced to us back in verse 37, when Jesus went to the house of this Pharisee for a meal. And we looked at that last week, right down to verse 44. His host was a Pharisee. There were other Pharisees there also. And Jesus was unmasking their hypocritical religion. He unmasked their falseness and the sham of their religion. Now, you can imagine the atmosphere at that lunch. You know, he would say, you know, sometimes you go to some places and you cut the atmosphere with a knife. You know, it's so tense. And I guess that would have been the atmosphere at this lunch when Jesus is confronting these boys. I think you could have cut the atmosphere with a knife. I mean, they're outraged. Nobody had ever talked to them like that before. You know, they wanted respectful titles everywhere they went. They expected to be treated in a manner that they were used to being treated, you know, with great respect and reverence and people falling over themselves to laud them. They must have been stunned and shocked with disbelief and anger at this unconventional dinner guest. You know, their hypocritical faces must have been a picture, to say the least. So in response to what Jesus has been saying, in verse 45, one of the lawyers answered and said to him, "Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach or insult us." Now the lawyers, who are they? Well, basically, they are the experts, also called scribes, down in verse 53. The Pharisees, as a total group, were committed to fastidious observation of religious system. And within the Pharisees, as a group, were the lawyers. They were the experts in the law. Now, not all Pharisees were lawyers, but many of them were. To put it simply, the law experts were the theologians, the exegetes, the expositors. They were the interpreters of the scripture. They were the ones who came up with the system which the Pharisees practiced. These were the guys that came up with the rules. Now, not all Pharisees, as I said, were law experts, but within the Pharisaical system, they had law experts that developed that system that they followed. So these were the men who crafted the perverted, corrupt, apostate Judaism that existed and shut the door of the kingdom of heaven and sent people to hell. Now, the lawyers and the Pharisees, they say they were one group, the two of them were inseparable, they were joined at the hip. The practicing Pharisees were dependent upon the lawyers to interpret the law for them and to find the loopholes, which they were very skillful at doing. So you could never meet with a Pharisee without having to meet with the lawyers, because the Pharisees would be lawyers and say they would be inseparable. They were always together. So for Jesus to criticize a Pharisee was also to criticize the lawyers, because it was the lawyers who developed the system. And so incredulous is this man. He says to Jesus, look, do you realize what you've just done? Do you know that you have insulted us also? And Jesus says in verse 46, woe to you lawyers also, judgment upon you lawyers also. Woe to you, bringing us down to that statement again in verse 52, you are hindering those who are entering. You see how the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mix his words? You know, this is so direct. It's very like Matthew 23:13, isn't it? Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. Why? Because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. That's what they do. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. You hinder. You keep people out of the kingdom. And that's what all false religions do. They cannot do anything other than that. It goes on in verse 15 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte. And when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are yourselves. You are just literally making sons of hell everywhere you go, not sons of God. Now, if that sounds different from what you hear today, then you can gauge just how far we have moved from the teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, friends, it's really pretty staggering to think about it, that the world is full of these false religions and false religious teachers who are literally leading souls to a Christless hell. You know, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One way, God said, to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. Anything else damns. There is no salvation in any other name. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Now, friends, that's exclusive. You know, that removes everybody else from the picture. Jesus said there was no other way. And you know, it is really staggering to think about the thousands of religions in this world. I know that people highlight the six main religions, but they're literally thousands within the world. With all their rites and with all their rituals, many of them have their own literature, accumulated ceremonies and systems, and their methodology and their behavior and their expectations of their followers. And it's staggering. Sophisticated religions with their revelations, visions, mystical insights. You know, whether you're talking about the main religions, the likes of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Sikhism, etc. Centuries of accumulated data and all kinds of people understanding and implementing and applying all of these principles to all the complexities of life. You know, with all their scholars and theologians amassing all their interpretations and applications all through the centuries. And all of those systems have risen up and they're leading people to hell. You know, Roman Catholicism is so complicated that even the most devout Catholic could never sort it out. You know, that's why for years the whole Roman Catholic Mass was in Latin, because it didn't matter if anybody understood it. In fact, they were afraid somebody might understand it. And so that's, you know, when William Tyndale translated the New Testament into English, the Roman Catholic Church executed him. It's the complexity that perpetuates the system. It's the inability to understand what is being said that makes it work. It's this that makes people dependent upon the system, and the traitors of the system keep the kingdom locked, if you like. You know, they follow us, and we're telling them they're going to be okay, and they're not okay. They're just pushing them further down the road to hell. They're servants of Satan. So whether that's, the false religions, the likes of, Hinduism, etc., or whether it's found within liberal Protestantism, which of course has killed the main denominations and killed many of the, original Bible colleges in our land that were once very sound and today are, turning out this a lot of liberal stuff. They deny the authority of Scripture. They deny the virgin birth. They deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on and on and all in the name of scholarship. And the complexities of Judaism, Jesus is confronting these boys. The complexities of Judaism were the same. The Pharisaical system started at the time of Israel. So for 400 years, they'd been refining all their unbelievable technicalities. And it's not much different from today. You know, if you ever listening to any of these, faith, not just programs, but, the thoughts for the day when they have people from different faiths on talking. Listen to some of those, Jewish representatives that they have on. And listen to those rabbis and their interpretation of the Old Testament. You know, at times it's so novel to be absolutely bizarre when you're listening to them. And there's no way when you go back and you look at the words and you look historically, at the grammar and understanding the language and its normal usage, can anyone ever come up with the type of interpretation that they're coming up with? And you get these false religions, and they lead people into a labyrinth of deceit. And what they're being presented with is a lie. And Jesus said that the worst thing you could ever say to a religious leader, you prevent people from entering into the kingdom of heaven. And it's still going on today. If you turn just for a second to John chapter 7, because this really sums up how the Pharisees and the scribes saw themselves. A lot of discussion going on about who Jesus was. And Jesus, back in verse 37 and verse 38, said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And he's relating there to a prophecy from Isaiah. But in verse 40 and 41, it says, "Many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.'" Verse 43. So there is division among the people because of him. People were beginning to listen to Jesus and say, you know, maybe he is the Messiah. Verse 44, some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. That's how rankled they were. He was so absolute in what he said, confronting them head on, that when he attacked and exposed their false teachers, they wanted to seize him, that their rage was so strong, but they didn't. Verse 45, officers, that's the temple police, came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why haven't you brought him? I mean, if he's a heretic, why didn't you get him? And the officer said, because no man ever spoke like this man. You see how they were basically stunned into inaction? They were paralyzed by his power and what he said. And then in verses 47 through 49, really tells you about the Pharisees. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd does not know the law. But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. You see what they're saying? You haven't been led astray by the scum, have you? You haven't been led astray by the riffraff. Yeah, that's how they viewed the people. You know, the stupid masses. You know, they don't know anything. They don't know the law. It's just the stupid people who don't know anything who end up following this guy. None of us who believe the law. None of us have believed in him. You see, they were so protective of their system that they could only imagine that anyone who would believe in him didn't know their system. And they were right in that. Because to commit to their system was to commit to deception. Jesus said, as we were reading this morning from Matthew 7, Jesus said, the way is narrow and few find it. And one of the reasons is because there are so many people hiding it and covering it up. How easy would it be for someone just in this little corner of England, in the West Lancs area, how easy would it be for someone to wake up some morning and say, I want to go to a religious place and hear the truth? How easy would it be? How many places would they go to and they would not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached? Took part in a seminar earlier in this year over at Chester Cathedral. I was doing the leading talk. There I was in the cathedral, giving the main address. And at the end of it, one of the Church of England ministers came to me, an evangelical guy. He says, I've been in this parish for 20 years. 20 years. He says, this is the first time in 20 years I have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached from that pulpit. It's not a scandal. Many people in Chester would waken up and say, I need to get my life sorted out. I'll go to a place where I'll hear about my life getting sorted out. That cathedral. If any place is going to preach the truth, it will be in there. And they go in and they don't hear the gospel. It's a scandal, friends. Jesus says the reason that you close the kingdom is threefold. Very quickly, number one, woe to you lawyers, back to Luke 11, verse 46, because you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. First problem, false religion lacks spiritual power. They put upon people burdens that they can't carry, rules that you can't keep. It lacks spiritual power. And then he says in verse 47, woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets. In other words, you decorate those tombs of prophets that your fathers killed. as if you're somehow better than them. And really all you're trying to do is, you know, overturn some kind of stigma of guilt that you're feeling. But the truth of the matter is that while you're decorating the tombs of the prophets, you're planning to kill me, the prophet of all prophets. Which tells me that the reason you don't have any spiritual power is because you're just like your fathers. You don't have any spiritual life. And that becomes the issue in verses 47 to 51. That they don't have any spiritual life. And the third one he says in verse 52, woe to you lawyers, for you take away the key of knowledge. So you have no power because you have no life. And you have no life, listen to this, because you have no truth. They took the key of knowledge and they threw it away. That's false religion. There is no truth within it. There is no truth, so it provides no life. And so it gives no power. The people in it are doomed unless they are rescued by God's grace. It was true of Judaism, and friends, it is still true today. It's true of anything but the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.